On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Audio Whiplash number 60. Rob over there.
Hey.
Matt over here. Hey.
Look at that.
Back on beer for at least one episode after a rum-based beverage or two, which we decided I shouldn't call it, but I'm calling it that.
Rum-based.
It's not rum-based, but it's kind of rum-based.
What's the issue with that?
Well, I don't think most people, like, wouldn't you say that it's like Coke based with some rum, unless it's not.
That's only if they don't have any hair on it.
Yeah, okay. Because I felt like the last one might have been closer to half and half.
Okay. Which was high octane,
right?
We call that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
High test is what we called it.
You want a drink that reaches right down there and grabs you right by the stones.
By the haunches.
By the.
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
What was it, Saturday? Big hog. He grabs you by the hog.
I bet you that chick's got a big hog.
That was it. That was the more disturbing part.
That chick's got a big hog. Something. What?
If you guys knew her.
Yeah, you'd say she got a big hog.
You'd agree for sure.
Not that she is a big hog.
No.
We don't want anyone to think that.
No.
She's got a big hog.
Speaking, there's no really good segue out of this.
Of course there is.
But we are going
to
talk
a guy
about
with a little hog. He's got small hands.
Oh, yeah. No, you thought we were going to Trump.
Okay. I did.
I thought more it was Matt has things to say.
Okay.
I wanted to actually start because I don't think there's much here, but I was intrigued. Did you actually even still know that Hooters was a thing? Not as a body part, but as a restaurant?
Hooters.
Does it not make you think of Married with Children?
Yeah.
Like, or
and you see Bud Bundy with his two hands up at sort of shoulder height, and he's doing the squeezing
Hooters
motion with you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
okay,
then,
sure.
Do you remember the name of the magazine that Al liked?
Biggins.
Biggins, of course, it was Biggins.
Yeah, and what was
Biggins.
And the nudie bar. The nudie bar was.
I don't remember what the bar was called. But I remember that he always had a little poem
where you can look at some thigh and blacken an eye.
That was the one where you can touch a thigh and blacken an eye.
At the nudie bar. Love Married with Children.
Sucks that's we both remembered the same one because there was some great ones. And
yeah, it was a song, yes.
Yeah. Hooters is apparently going to start hiring men, which is unfortunate. It's kind of an offshoot, right? It's going to be a separate thing.
It's called Hoots.
Hoots.
Is that like Hoots?
Should have just called it Hogs.
What is See? Why didn't they consult with you?
Apparently I'm too zeroed in on the Hogs.
Yeah. And you know, much like the females that they used to hire, where you could only get hired if you had a huge rack, right?
That's right.
Here you got to show up with a tube sock in your shorts.
Some of us need to show up with two.
Potato in front, ladies and gentlemen. Not in the back of the shorts.
Speaking of who I'm playing this week in TCA Fantasy Hockey. Yeah, you and me, man.
And fuck that other guy. Tweeting it out like everybody else gives a shit. Little man syndrome.
Oh, I still give a shit. I'm working hard, man. I think I'm 7-7.
Okay.
Just
a hard working man.
Drops a Kopitar versus Potato in front. TCA Fantasy Hockey this week. Anyway, yeah, it's. I guess you said it looks like a. I got that it was a different restaurant. It was going
to
be called.
To me, it's sort of a kiosk in
like a
sort
food
of,
court thing, yeah. Like a wireless wave.
Yes, exactly. Right next to the Sunglass Hunt, you can go to Hoots.
Pass.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But is like I guess the way they've been getting around, like Hooters has been getting around this, according to this article. Ask Men?
Yep, Ask Men.
Was that they're hiring entertainers, not...
Oh, wait staff.
Not wait staff. And that seems like a pretty thin...
Yeah. And see, I was very interested in... And it's funny because obviously the guy who wrote the article is probably closer to my vintage, right, of age.
Right.
And I remember being...
Wicked in old.
Yeah, I remember being in Atlanta in 96.
Wicked old.
Yeah, because he's talking about, there was a time when it was titillating, you could go and ogle the wait staff.
Ogle?
And he's just throwing it out there, right?
It's
one of those things, right? Like, whatever you said you were going there, because they had great wings.
Great wings.
Yeah, see, this is it,
I
right?
only read it for the articles.
Right, and, the socks pushed down and the white shoes, the short shorts and the big rack.
Yeah.
Clearly you're going because it's,
But, do you not think, in 2017, and I asked this at the beginning, I probably didn't give you time to answer.
When I'm there in Atlanta in 96, I'm with my mother and my brother's girlfriend, and they're both like, let's go to Hooters. And I'm like, I'm not going to Hooters with my mother.
Mom? Yeah, no.
And my potential future sister-in-law. That's not happening.
Right.
So whatever it was, now it's clearly it's not a strip joint or anything, but I don't want to be in a place with all
these
big racked women with my mother and sister-in-law. Oh, it's odd, man. So I didn't go.
Did they?
No.
Okay.
We ended up going for Tex-Mex instead, but... Mom still talks about it now. Oh, and that time Rob wouldn't go to Hooters with me. Yeah, Mom. Yeah, that's how that goes, Mom.
Still won't, Mom.
Yeah.
Still.
You want to go check out Hooters on your own, Mom? You can do that.
Did you? I asked at the beginning and I cut you off.
That's also another strange.
It's a weird sentence.
You want to check out Hooters on your own, Mom? Go ahead.
And show title.
Yes.
Did you know Hooters was still a thing? Like, it seems so...
Well, no,
at a time when you can pull a phone and something else out of your pocket and look at as many Hooters as you want, does it not seem like, hey, I'm going to go to a restaurant that serves chicken wings, bad beer, and
right. Well, and there was a couple of local ones, too, right?
Was there here in Ottawa?
Yeah, and they didn't last.
No, and I think there's still one just outside Toronto, like maybe Pickering or something like that. But I don't think there's any left in Toronto. Maybe it just wasn't a successful chain up here.
So what you think its demise comes down to the fact that I can check out boobs anytime I want?
Yeah, probably not. But it just seems like in this very PC 2017 world, you couldn't possibly get out. Remember that awesome episode of Seinfeld where he only hires big-chested waitresses and they all turn out to be his daughters, right? Like... At the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just seems like that's how they got around it for a long time. But in 2017, there's going to be a group of angry dykes that are going to shut it down. Whoops.
There's no angry dykes, is there? What are you talking about?
At Four Corners, there's a man-loving lesbian, man-friendly, pleasant lesbian. At the next corner, there's a man-hating dyke. At another corner... The Easter Bunny, and at the fourth corner, Santa Claus. And in the middle, there's a $50 bill. When you say go, who's getting to the $50 bill? Go ahead.
The angry dyke.
Why?
Because the other ones don't exist?
Because the other three are figments of your fucking imagination.
Okay.
Anyway.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at you, man.
Piecing that all together
Chasing
on
Amy,
the fly.
Kevin Smith. Great movie. Yeah, you know what? It just seems like in 2017 you couldn't get away with running a restaurant that's sole purpose, which this was, its sole purpose was to just be like, hey, come in, our waitresses have big tits.
Odd that we'd be getting more PC.
It stinks. You all stink. What's wrong with you?
More PC with honestly everything on the surface. That's a thin veneer of political correctness. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's how we have to operate day to day. But then as soon as somebody cuts you off in traffic, you're flipping them the bird. Hey, fuck you. Fuck you. Double guns. My thumbs are out.
No. Right now? Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. In case you missed it, I give you a polite little honk. Yeah, fuck you.
Are we still talking about Hooters?
Yeah.
Polite little honk when they bring over your wings.
Hey, how you doing?
Now you'd stay open, right?
Come on. Yeah, it's a totally different establishment if I'm allowed to touch.
Yeah, fuck you, USA. You don't know what you're missing with your shitty strip clubs.
Yeah, with your topless strip joints.
Yeah, you don't know.
Come on.
You don't know.
Come north and see the prudes where we take it all off.
You can see a coal miner's daughter strip right down to the pelt.
Yep. It's the pelt. Take it off my lumber jacket.
That's how it goes up here, man. Yep.
Right from the saddle horn, right around to the belly button. Yuck. How did we get here?
I don't know. We started at Hooters and things escalated quickly. No, you know what? They're going to did we mention that they're going to start hiring men? Because I think the only place before the men were allowed to work there as long as they
were cooks.
Now they're going to be allowed to apparently work at the mall kiosk, I guess.
Yeah. There you go. At Hoots.
Anyway, there was just something
strange. Which, contrary to popular belief, Hoots. They will not be selling left-handed cigarettes. One of them, they're marijuana cigarettes.
It just seemed weird to me. I had no idea even Hooters was still around, and yet they're still making news, man.
Okay. Well, you know what? Got to stay current.
Yeah. I saw an article. I forwarded it on to you. Was it from McLean's? Talking about the death of the live album. I think it was McLean's.
Okay.
I could be wrong. We'll post the correct link at facebook.com/talkinaudio or at talkinaudio on Twitter. I know people are pretty kind of torn on this. At least that's been my impression in a couple of quick conversations on Twitter, whether or not they miss the live album, whether or not they like the live. There's some people that I know that are pretty passionate about, when I buy an album or stream an album, I guess, in 2017 lingo, I don't really want to hear the artist put the mic out and let the crowd sing, right? Like I paid to hear you sing or whatever. I always kind of dug the idea of the live album. And the point of this article, which again we'll share, facebook.com/tallcanaudio or at tallcanaudio on Twitter, was that it's kind of dying. It's gone away. And they kept referencing Napster as the point where that it stopped, right? Because at some point you could share whatever you wanted online. And the easiest thing to do was, you know, especially lately, use your cell phone, record the concert, then go home and upload it. And you could listen to someone's god-awful iPhone microphone play a concert for you or whatever. Were you ever a fan? Did you like the live album? Live Between Us is the one that, as a band, that you and I both dig, the hip.
I love that album.
Were you, outside of that album, would you say, did you like, were you a live album guy?
Yeah. Now, I really like probably one of my, I love the Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds, live at Radio City Music Hall, right? And it is a full 25-song concert, and It's acoustic based, and what live music to me and live albums bring, if done properly, it brings you more passion. It's not as polished as the studio, but if the sound is good, it brings a whole different passion level to the song. Right, and you get some feedback from the. I like that a lot, and I go in for a lot of. but it has to be well-produced live material. There's a lot of stuff out there that's – and I think of the AC/DC double album that sort of came out in the early 90s, whatever it was, and it sucked. Like, to me, it was just the sound was sort of middle of the road. And see, I don't mind if I'm at a live concert.
Right.
And I can tell that it's live. Okay. I like that one.
Because I'm here.
That's
and I
right.
see the band.
Right. And so and it's sort of downgraded in terms of the quality of the sound. But to me, there's a huge difference, you know, and they cited YouTube on there, right?
Yeah.
Again, as people sort of check out concert footage or they do whatever, and it's sort of taken the place of live music albums. There's some stuff you get some live footage. It's somebody shot on their phone or somebody's shot on a camcorder and it sucks. Yeah, and you're like, and it has this tinny sound like it's. You're in a tuna can.
It's like your iPhone wasn't designed to record high-end audio.
Say,
in the middle
who knew?
Of, right.
Right. Then you get some other shit that is absolutely – and obviously I don't know anything about recording this just in, right? But I listen to – on a regular basis, I love – there's Live from Slane Castle in Dublin. U2 does one called U2 Go Home. And there's another one I like to listen to, Red Hot Chili Peppers. The sound is awesome, right? And it's almost studio quality, which makes me think it may in fact be studio quality.
Sure.
And so to me, there's that fine line in terms of what is a live album and what isn't. Like you look at, for the longest time, live albums were the top selling albums.
Well, and what one of the points made in this article was – that live albums almost became this lazy crutch. We have a 6-album contract. We finish 5 here. We'll record a concert, and there's your 6th. And
throw in a Christmas album.
Yes, exactly. Always fucking terrible. But
Metal Christmas, Twisted Sister doing Good King Wenceslas. Like a,
oh, come all you faithful, I think was the other one.
Honestly.
I don't know if you could tell. I was going to wind up and do it, but I decided to back down.
You were going to do the Pearl Jam version, I can almost guarantee you.
That's all I got, man. Yes. That's what I know, right? No, it's – I was always – I wouldn't say a huge fan of the live album, but the bands that I was regularly investing in, which I guess makes sense, right? But if I had bought 3, 4, 5 albums in
a row
from a
certain band.
Seriously,
you don't care about the New Kids in the Block live album? You don't care about that?
Yeah, not so much.
Well, this is it. So,
but don't you think, like, they did say in this article, right, no genre has ever done less with live albums than, like, rap and hip-hop. And you kind of go, yeah, why would you?
Because that's just a bunch of people yelling.
And even, like, if you think about the rap songs that you like, which are probably fairly few and far between. There's nothing about that that makes me go, yeah, I want to see that live. But there's something when you think about, like, for you.
Ice Cube, baby.
Yeah, 99, baby. But when you think about the Black Keys.
Yep.
When you go and see that band, you know that you're going to see some wicked, talented fucking guy for probably 20 minutes self-indulge in an obnoxiously long guitar solo.
Yeah.
Right? And you kind of go, you're either into that or you're not. Right, but there's none of that
and that's
in a rap
show. That's actually
right?
what they call it: wickedly indulgent solo,
obnoxiously long. So, yeah, but don't you find that to be a little self-indulgent? Like at some point, you're going, you know, with the length that you play this, you could have played my favorite song, right? Like, but that's part of a rock show. You go and you don't know exactly what you're going
to
get, but there's something
to it. I take
that
time to go for a piss and grab another beer.
Yeah.
I call that wickedly indulgent pee and beer break.
I'm also indulging. Right. No, it's – but like when you think of something like a rap or even pop show, right, where there's no band, there's no – whatever. It's just this person's going to go and sing the same song that I've heard 1,000 times on the radio. And it would be easy. Like we're recording this on the heels of the Super Bowl. I don't know if you watched it or not.
I did.
We didn't touch base.
Yep.
I thought Lady Gaga put on a really good halftime show.
Well, you know what made it good was I think there was 6 of the 7 sort of snippets of songs that she did. Everybody knows.
Right.
She didn't take that as an opportunity to start you know, shilling a new album. Which sure. There was one song on there I didn't know, but I'm not the benchmark. The
Millions of Reasons or, yes, or whatever. That was the same one I did. I didn't know that either, right?
Okay, but so is that a new song?
I don't know.
Okay, but short of that, the other six or five.
Everybody
or six,
knew it.
Everybody knew.
And it was high energy, and she put on a great show. That's not my kind of music, but she did a good job with it and whatever, right? But when you go to...
So what made it good to you?
I think it...
See, and I'm always...
I don't have a great answer
okay,
for
and,
that.
Okay, and yeah, I don't expect you to.
Because you're a dullard.
Yeah. But here's the deal. What do you... When you listen to that and she's singing and whatever else, and people do it and you hear the song and you're like, yeah, it sounds really good. And then you hear, and it's almost like a break where it says, come on, Texas!
Yeah.
And it sounds different.
Right.
Right? It's like she's clicked something off or clicked something on. And I'm not saying she was lip syncing.
Okay. Because that's where I thought you were going.
No. I don't know.
I don't
think
so. Because
to me, it didn't sound... like she was doing studio.
Do you know what it was
but
to
it
me?
It also didn't sound to me like she was going through, though I couldn't hear any breathing.
I was just going to say, and for those of you at home, I apologize. I was hearing a ton of breathing. After every line, you would hear
Could you see her belly hanging over the right, bottom like of her shorts? Okay.
I was getting a ton of that where, especially in that, just before maybe that slower one, that Millions of Reasons or whatever it was called, where you could hear her kind of going, right.
Well,
like before each line, and you go, okay, you're singing, right? You're out of breath. You're fucking giving
her. Well, again,
her, right?
And I'm not saying she was.
No, I know.
But to me, yeah, it sounded really good. The quality of that was very good. And then you could hear the sort of the difference, and maybe that's just her talking voice versus...
Was it possible she's just really good?
Yeah,
like,
no.
It's not our type of music for either of us, right? But...
No. And to me, she's talented.
Of course.
She's got a great voice in terms of...
Yeah.
Yeah, the power and the range.
Yeah, I thought it was...
I don't like to look at her, though.
No. Well,
she freaks me out a bit.
But she's usually wearing something crazy, trying to make some weird statement.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Hey, I'm wearing all beef tonight.
Well, see, and again, the meat dress.
Yeah.
So, and she used to be very skinny.
I thought that was something, the meat dress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
She used to be very skinny.
Yeah.
Now, to me, she looked...
Not as skinny.
Not as skinny. Not as skinny.
Yes.
How about that?
Okay.
But she looked more feminine than normal. How about that?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So live music anyways.
No, I know. But that was a good example to me, right? Like when like who's your – and I'm not going to let you say Rage Against the Machine or something like that. If you had to go and see a rap or a hip-hop artist, who are you going to see?
Beastie Boys.
Yeah. That's kind of the same but not – but yeah, okay. That's okay.
Thank you very much for the validation.
But I'm trying to make you get outside of that rap that we all actually kind of like, right? Like
Run DMC?
Yeah.
Cypress Hill? Are we getting closer?
I've seen Cypress Hill live.
Okay, so I'm not sure what...
No, point was just that, like I said, if you compare it to the Black Keys... which you're a much bigger fan of them, you know at some point you're going to get that big guitar solo and then you're going to see... them kind of break it down into that.
So there's only so much record scratching you can get into.
Right.
Wicked, 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 wicked.
Right. At some point, they're just going to, the same as you would do at home, hit
Crisscross. Can I go see Crisscross?
You cannot go see Crisscross. please. They'll make you jump or something. No, they wouldn't make me do that. When you get to a point where some of those acts... it sounds a lot like you hitting next on your CD player or your whatever. Whereas at a concert holy fuck. Even like jazz and you're going to balk at this, but even country, right? Where people are up there and they're playing instruments and they're talented musicians instead of maybe one talented singer and a stereo system playing really loud, right? Like those are very different concert experiences.
And you've lost me with where...
Yeah, I've lost me too.
Okay, because I say, are we defending the same thing? Because it sounds to me a lot like, or you're saying these are reasons for the death of...
Yeah, I think as this type of music becomes more and more polished and more computer created, there's less you can do with a live album.
Because for the longest time, Frampton Comes Alive.
That was a huge album.
And Cheap Trick, Live at the Budokan.
You read the same article as me, clearly. Did they say that was 92?
Frampton Comes Alive? That's late 70s.
But there was a couple that they mentioned that were like 90. Oh, no, it was right before Cobain and Nirvana.
Well, there was the Unplugged, all the Unplugged stuff. That
but
they
who
went
was
through.
It? Was it
Eric Clapton?
Eric Clapton is the one I'm thinking of that seemed way late. Yeah, that was the one right before Nirvana.
And that was 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that not seem really late to you for Clapton?
Well, no, because that was right in the Unplugged phase. And so Clapton, who was obviously through Cream and all that into the late 60s, 70s, right? Then he sort of went away, right? In terms of his popularity and
right.
And he'd sort of done some ballads and stuff that in the 80s. But Unplugged was his sort of like a reemergence for him, right? Same article cited Johnny Cash's Live from Folsom Prison.
Yeah.
Or yeah, Folsom Prison Blues.
I didn't know a ton about that. I went and did a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, and that's what you're saying. It was that album, that live album, sort of relaunched his second wave of his career. And
yeah.
I think the Unplugged led to Clapton with his, you know, You Look Beautiful Tonight and all that sort of. Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm but, saying you're right. Yeah,
yeah, but right there. I don't like it. I don't go in for it. But it certainly got him back on sort of easy listening
right. That's
radio.
Right. Yep. Do you remember – and this is completely unrelated. Now I'm just asking a question. Remember roughly what year Layla would have come out?
Oof, Layla is, I want to say, you know, this is ballpark. It's mid-70s.
Okay.
Because Layla was, and it was written for George Harrison's
Layla.
Wife.
Right. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. No. And,
great tune though. And,
yeah,
and,
for sure.
And to me, that's a tune that's, it's a rock song, and then it sort of goes into that ballad. It sort of has that.
Yeah, someone who does know at least a little bit about how to edit audio, I always lob that shit off the end and just keep the just keep the first half.
Well, but yeah, honestly, it's half the song, right?
Yeah,
it
I know.
Sort of makes
yeah.
it goes into the and then
yeah, it kind of loses something. For
yeah,
me
okay,
at that
and
point.
It does. I think for everybody, yeah. Why can't you just make it like Cocaine? Stick with that song right there. Run that formula into the ground, Eric.
Please.
Come on.
Do you have a and we've done some of these before. We've done a bucket list, Alive Music, Alive or Dead. But if you had to pick one or two, I think for both of us, Live Between Us is a favorite live album. But do you have a – like is there a band – let me – I'm going to change the question completely. Is there a band out right now that hasn't done a live album that you would be interested in having in your collection if they would turn around and do it? There's something about music, the way music's produced right now that's a little different, right? And it just doesn't lend itself the same. And
right. And I'm not happy with my answer. I'd love a live Black Keys album.
Yeah, spoon-fed that fucking answer.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm not happy with it either, right? Okay. But I'm thinking of what I'd love to see live.
Is that the same? Like to go and see it? I guess it probably is, but to then have that same.
Well, and it's funny because I listened to those two live shows that I was talking about before from Slane Castle.
Right.
I also love the 05 Iron Maiden live at ULEVI.
Yeah, we've watched that
in Gothenburg, Sweden,
30-40 right? times.
Well, I'd love to have been at that show.
Yeah.
Right. So versus and they did their Power Slave album is essentially. A live album with a couple of other songs in it, but that's a. Oh no, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean
not,
one
not
for
Power
me.
Power Slave.
No, I don't think Power Slave, but I don't know anybody. Like for me, in 05, September 05, August 05, I went and saw Green Day at Molson Park in Barrie, and to me, for the longest time, and it probably still is in my top five concerts I've ever seen live. It was really, really good. And they turned that
probably,
into a live
a
album.
Sweet spot for Green Day too, right?
Well, it was just after, like it was right as American Idiot came out. So it was that. This was their first huge tour that was entirely for that. Like they'd opened for some huge bands.
Right.
And then they had played their own headlining tours in way smaller venues. But this was the first time for them to headline huge 40,000 people crowds, right? And so that's what this was. And so it had a mix of this kind of poppier – the American Idiot album was huge, right? And so it had this mix of that and then all the old more punk rock stuff that was kind of being played in a more pop, but it was a great, great concert, and they ended up turning it into a live DVD and live CD, but it was almost the identical set list, but they did this from one of the festivals in Britain about a week and a half after I'd seen the exact same set in Barrie. And so to me, it was fantastic. And you kind of go, yeah, I remember. And it takes you back, like music does, to that kind of time and place, right? And but that's a great one for me. I always did enjoy Live Between Us by The Hip. Our Lady Peace put out one at one point. I know you're not a big fan of them, but I thought they had a really good live album.
Starseed and Navid. I think those are the only two.
Yeah, you'd know more than that.
I'm saying in terms of...
Right. Innocent was right on that album that had come out just before that, which was probably their biggest radio hit ever, maybe between that and Clumsy, right? But, I mean, some really good live stuff. Somehow, you know this, as I went and I think I required your help to find it. There was a live Genesis album that was called The Shorts or something like that.
Yeah.
That for some reason I really enjoyed that, right? But to me, I'm one of those guys. There's something about it to me that I want to hear the crowd digging it in the background. And it's not quite obviously the same as being there, but it kind of gives you that, people are loving this right now, right? And you can kind of get into it a little bit.
Well, see, and it's funny because a friend of mine who we share music back and forth, and it's Little Black Submarine by Black Keys. And it's at a, I don't know what the festival is. It's well recorded. The sound is awesome, right? And the crowd is into it. The crowd is singing. It doesn't affect the quality of the concert. And in fact, it enhances it, right? Whereas she sent it back to me. She's like, I don't like that. You know, when I'm listening to a tune, I like to think that they're singing to me.
Right.
Or it's
yeah.
I don't know who these other people are.
That's what I'm saying. I know people like that too. And to me, I'm the opposite.
Yeah, I want to be in that crowd.
Right.
And I love to chant. I love to,
It's true, people.
Yeah.
If you believe it, Rob's allowed.
I love to make noise, snapping fingers, clapping.
Chinese.
Yeah. back kicks, perhaps.
Sure.
But yeah, I like that. So to me, I want to be, I go to concerts and I sing.
Do you think YouTube is the reason it's dead?
I do.
Tomorrow I can go see Against Me, which I hope to, not tomorrow, right? But I can soon record that entire concert on my iPhone, and I'll upload it to YouTube, and it'll get a couple thousand hits. And
but
it'll
I don't
suck.
Want it. Exactly.
Suck.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear if Against Me,
sure,
wanna,
or whoever. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to hear them at all. But if that was my deal, I'd want to hear something good that they've said. You know, like all these bands, they have these live performances where...
Like Gaslight, right? Like you and I, to differing degrees, are both into Gaslight Anthem. There are YouTube videos out your butthole of them playing live festivals all over Europe that sound fantastic.
Right. And I like that there's a Lollapalooza. There's one of them. It's a short set list. It's about 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's tight. The sound is great. The show was good. Yeah. Queens of the Stone Age.
Right.
I love that. But you know what? This is YouTube now.
Right.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that seems to be what killed
it's Chicago 2013 stop on the Lollapalooza tour. It's about an hour and 10 minutes. But it's awesome. The sound is great. Now, okay.
So what?
You got all those dumbasses who comment on the shows. And they're like, whoever's doing the mixing, they totally fucked that up.
There is no mixing, right? Like that's the – well, I guess for the live act there is, but not for the album or not for the recording, right?
Well, this is it. And so to me, those things that I'm mentioning right there, whereas that U2 Go Home from live from Slane Castle, that is an album.
Right.
Right? And it's awesome. It's clearly live, right? But the sound is super tight. Another band who is going to date me again.
Well, someone should.
But, yeah. Van Halen.
Jump.
No, that's Chris Cross.
No. All right, close enough, yeah.
But seeing them live,
it's the second jump, people.
And we're talking, we're talking exact. Just stick with the one jump. Yeah, their sound clearly live, but super tight. Like they're musicians. You and I went to see it together, Rush.
Yeah,
I don't think either one of us are huge Rush fans.
Or either of us. We might have talked. Or you and I a little too much. We went with someone for people. Obviously, you weren't there. There was a lot of beers beforehand.
A lot of whiskey, actually.
Sure.
Where I was threatening to pee on the person in front of me.
They didn't seem to love that.
They weren't love.
But one of the people we went with, who wasn't the person, luckily, he threatened to piss on.
I didn't know the people I was threatening to pee on.
Yeah. No, that was the best part. Because you basically just turned and said to me, like, I'm going to just piss on the person. And they turned over the bed. Please don't. Right? Like, I wouldn't or something like that.
So, it's not a good idea.
Who are you? Yeah. I'm going to piss where I want to piss.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
The person.
Deal with it.
One of the people we went with gets her phone out and she's going to try and record a video of, I don't know if it was a favorite song or just any song that she wanted. And you and I in the background, rah, 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 drunk talk, right? Like at some point she's got to turn on. Could you two shut the fuck up?
The best part is she's playing it back to me. She's like, it was YYZ, right? They're playing that. It's really cooking into the – and all I can hear is, in your fucking face. Sorry about that.
Which was probably directed at the guy you were going to piss on.
Yes. Love the live venue.
Yeah, for sure. Way better than the live album. So you know what? Good riddance to the fucking live album. How about that? Long live YouTube and long live pissing on strangers.
Because you know what? Exactly. I can watch it and get drunk in my own home.
Right.
Leads to isolationism and reach out, people. Nah. Human touch.
Overrated.
Doesn't matter if it's my nub.
Hashtag TCA nub. We'll see you all in the next Audio Whiplash.
See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.